welcome to the Renewing Minds podcast, where we explore the depths of Christian life and thinking and discover how we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. I'm Hunter Davis, and I'm thrilled to embark on this journey with you. Romans 12 is more than just a call to change. It's an invitation to transformation. It's a powerful reminder that we are not meant to be shaped by the world around us, but to be transformed from within through the renewing of our minds. Here on the Renewing Minds podcast, we dive into what it means to live a life fully surrendered to Christ, to think differently, and to see the world through the lens of God's truth. Each episode, we will unpack biblical principles, share inspiring stories, and engage with thought-provoking discussion designed to challenge and encourage you in your faith journey. Whether you're a seasoned believer or just beginning to explore the Christian faith, this podcast is for you. So let's dive in together. Let's renew our minds, transform our lives, and impact the world for Christ. Welcome to the Renewing Minds podcast. It is so great to be studying with you, meditating on God's Word, especially here in this first episode of the Renewing Minds podcast. I want to thank each of you for listening in, taking time out of your day to study from God's Word, to meditate on the things that He said, and I hope that it'll be of encouragement to you, but more importantly, I hope that it'll be glorifying to God, and that the things that we talk about will be from His Word and the truths that He has revealed to us. What I hope this podcast is about would be more than just an intellectual conversation. This podcast should be about aligning our thoughts with God's truth so that our lives, they reflect Christ to a world that desperately needs Him, so that we can be lights that we are designed to be, so that we can be the image bearers that God originally designed, so that we can be holy, set apart from this world, in order to fulfill the design that God intended for us to be. So as we renew our minds, we are transformed. Transformation begins in our minds, but it affects every part of our being. It affects our habits, it affects our actions, and even our eternal destiny. Are we going to heaven? Are we going to hell? These things are based off of the way in which we think, and by the way we think, the way that we act. So that's what I would like for us to talk about in this first episode. How do we go about controlling our thoughts and, in essence, controlling our actions? I don't know if you've seen the movie Inside Out or not, but in the movie Inside Out, the movie shows us these different emotions. You've got joy, you've got sadness, you've got disgust, you've got, in the newer movie, envy and anxiety. You also have anger, and all of these characters that are in the movie are living inside the mind of this young girl named Riley. And Riley is going about living her life, and these emotions that are in her mind are basically trying to control her to be the best Riley that she can be. Well, there's a line from that movie that really stands out to me, and I think it goes along with what we're going to talk about today. Joy and sadness, if you can just imagine, if you haven't seen the movie, these types of characters. Joy is one of those that you could probably see somebody in the world today being just like Joy. Always happy, always outgoing, always has a smile on her face. No matter if something is good or bad, she finds a way to put a positive spin on everything. And she's just so fun to be around and always lightens the mood and gives everybody some happiness. Well, sadness, on the other hand, is maybe like somebody you know that's in the world today. They think negatively all the time. If something good happens, they always find a way to put a negative spin on it. And in the movie Inside Out, their joy and sadness, they're trying to take one of these memory spheres to Riley's deepest memory. And As they're going about doing that, Sadness, as you can imagine, is starting to give up on this idea. She's basically laying there on the floor saying, "No, we're not going any further. Everything's going to end terribly." And she basically says, "Joy, if we go any further, we're going to get lost." And Joy, being who she is, always wanting to put a positive spin on everything and everything is happy, go get 'em type attitude, Joy says, "Come on, Sadness, we gotta think more positively." Well, Sadness turns around and responds, "I'm positive we're going to get lost." And you may know some people like that. Even today in secular psychology, it tells us that the way we think has a profound impact on our well-being. These characters that are inside of Riley's minds, they're inside of Riley's mind, they're battling for control. But as Christians, our thoughts, they must be led by Christ, not by just fleeting emotions like we see in the movie. We live in a world that's so obsessed with emotions. Are you happy? Are you sad? Are you positive? Are you negative? But here is the truth. Emotions are important, but our thought life is foundational. What if I told you that your mindset, more than your mood, is shaping your eternal destiny? Aaron T. Beck, the founder of cognitive behavioral therapy, said, "The way you think determines the way you feel, and the way you feel influences the way you act." Even this cognitive behavioral therapist emphasizes the power of thoughts in shaping emotions and behaviors. And as Christians, we've known this truth for centuries. The Bible has been telling us the same thing over and over again in the New Testament and the Old Testament. For instance, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, which is where this podcast is based off of. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul gives us a very distinct message about the way in which we control our thoughts. Beginning in verse 1, he says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Paul's message here is revolutionary. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Don't let the world press you into its mold. Instead, be transformed, radically, fundamentally changed by the renewing of your mind. I think about Daniel when they're taken into captivity by the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans wanted to change everything about them. They wanted to change their names. They wanted to change their language. They wanted to change their religion, how they did things, the way that they worked, the way that they acted. Everything was done to change them so that they could be shaped and pressed into a mold of a Chaldean. But God intended for them to be pressed into the mold in which He designed them to be. So, in order for Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, in order for them to be able to be the children of God that God calls them to be, they had to have mindsets that were strongly instilled and rooted in what God desired them to be. Transformation, it starts in the mind, because the mind is basically the control center of our lives. What you think, you will eventually go out and do. One philosopher said that men are disturbed not by things, but by the view which they take of them. And this echoes the biblical truth that our perspective and mindset determines how we respond to life's challenges. Notice with me Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Proverbs, the 23rd chapter and verse 7, it says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." So the world is constantly trying to conform us through media, through culture, And even our relationships. The world says, think this way, live this way. But God calls us to something different. He calls us to transformation from the inside out. The transformation isn't a one-time event. It's a daily decision. It's a daily surrender. David Thoreau once wrote, "The mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation." So many people conform to the world's expectations, trapped by external pressures, but God offers us a way out through transformation instead of conformity. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 says, "We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." The world around us, especially with modern day psychology, has given us excuses for the way in which we act and behave. For instance, you have modern psychology that if you have problems or struggles with addiction, or if you have problems limiting your alcohol consumption, well, they consider you an addict or an alcoholic, and they'll go back to your family history. It's in your bloodline somewhere, and because of that, you're always going to be an addict, you're always going to be an alcoholic. That daily pressure is just going to be so hard to bear, and there's going to be times where you give in to it. And basically, what we have created is a society that no longer is accountable for the things in which they do, because everything can be explained. It's explained away. It's because of whatever your genetics are. It's because of whatever your family history is. It's just inside of you, deeply rooted, and you can't change that. Think of our minds as a battlefield. And what you think determines who you become. Here is the truth. Your thoughts shape your reality. A mindset on Christ produces a life lived for Christ. When I think about how we communicate to people in the world and the way that media, our culture, all those things, whether it be on TV, whether it be in music, whether it be in the comedy, everything that goes on around us, it's trying to shape us and conform us to the way that America, or depending on where you live, where that culture, the way that they want you to think. For instance, you can think about a husband and a wife, the way that it's portrayed by the world. Typically, the husband or the wife, they see their in-laws in a negative light. And when they see their in-laws in a negative light, what they do is every time their in-laws have something to say about them, what they do is they say, you know what? They're always going to be mean. They're always going to be rude. They always have it out for me. So therefore, they're always going to be like that. And no matter what the in-law has to say, whether it be good or bad, because the husband or the wife sees their in-law in that way, no matter what the in-law actually does or says, it's always going to be taken in the light in which the husband or wife sees the in-law. So if you see them negatively, everything they do is going to be negative. If you see them positive, you're always going to try to put a positive spin on it. So the question is, what is shaping your mind? Is the world's lies shaping your mind, or is God's truth shaping your mind? I think about several examples from the Old Testament. The world, they say that we can either be positive or negative. We're going to be one or the other. And you may have heard well-meaning Christians, whether it be elders, preachers, or just a friend who's a Christian, say that as Christians, we've just got to be positive all the time. We've got to be happy and always have a smile on our face. That's just the way that God would have us to be. Think about some of these Old Testament men with me, and think about what their emotions would be in this time of difficulty, these times of challenges. For instance, Job. Was Job always joyful? Do you think when Job lost everything, when he lost his family, his wealth, and his health, Do you think he was feeling joy in that moment? Do you think he was like, oh, yes, it's finally, God has taken all of this away from me. It's just so great and wonderful. No. Job expressed deep sorrow. But here's the difference. Even in his grief, Job's mind was fixed on God's sovereignty. Job wasn't happy about his circumstances, but his trust in God remained unshaken. And that's a mindset that's rooted in faith. It's not fleeting emotions. He didn't allow the things like the loss of his family, the loss of his wealth, the loss of his good health. He didn't allow those emotions that he was feeling in that time to take hold of him and just go with it. For instance, you see in Job chapter 1, beginning in verse 20, Job the first chapter in verse 20, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. There's a psychiatrist, Dr. Viktor Frankl, and he was actually a Holocaust survivor. And he wrote a book, Man's Search for Meaning. And in that book, he has this quote: everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstance. As a Holocaust survivor, knowing the things that Dr. Viktor would have gone through, he had the choice, he had the freedom to choose what his attitude was going to be in that circumstance. And like Job, his strength came from his mindset, not his external situation. Well, what about Daniel? Do you think Daniel was just so happy when he was thrown in the lion's den? Imagine being thrown in that lion's den. I don't think Daniel was saying in that moment, oh yes, this is just so great and this is so wonderful. I've got a nice little rock to maybe lay my head on, and these nice fluffy lions that want to eat my heart out of my chest. Yeah, those are pretty nice too, but maybe just stay away from them. But other than that, everything is just fine. Do you think he was optimistic the entire time he was in there? I don't think so. I don't think he was saying, this is great, this is wonderful. But his faith in God never wavered. Daniel's mindset was fixed on God's deliverance, not his immediate danger. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 23 says, when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. His mindset was that in this present circumstance, even though I may be afraid, even though I may be in danger, even though I may be scared, even though I may be anxious, even though I may be sad and alone, I am going to trust in God and His deliverance. What about Joseph? Do you think he was always just optimistic about what was going on in his life, every turn and every direction? Joseph was betrayed by his own brother, sold into slavery, and imprisoned unjustly. Do you think he had a positive mindset in that moment? Oh, this is great! I get to go be a slave. No. But his mindset was grounded in something far greater than just mere optimism. He trusted in God's ultimate plan. Even when everything was against him, Joseph's thoughts were aligned with God's purpose. And that's what carried him through the challenging circumstances that he faced. Genesis chapter 50 in verse 20. Joseph approaches his brothers and is going to address the fact that he was sold into slavery. And it's so interesting what Joseph has to say to his brothers. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, it says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done. Do you think Joseph had that same mindset when he was going through being sold into slavery? That everything is just fine and dandy, God has this ultimate plan, and everything is just fine? I don't think he did. It wasn't until after the fact that he was able to say, God took care of me. And I knew that he would. Albert Einstein said once that in the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. Joseph understood this truth because his mindset was rooted in trust that God could turn any hardship into good. So often, though, we confuse positive thinking with a biblical thinking. We think that those great men of faith that we read about in the Bible, they just had these positive thoughts, and that's what led them to be successful in their faith and so trusting in God. But biblical thinking is deeper. It acknowledges the pain, it acknowledges the loss, it acknowledges the challenge, and still says, God, you are in control. That is what the whole book of Daniel is about, God being in control. And God, he doesn't call us to deny reality. He calls us to trust his sovereignty in the midst of it. When we're facing those challenging times, when we are facing loss, when we are struggling with pain, saying, God, I know you are in control. God, I know you are faithful. God, I know you have promised good to me. And I know that your promises will come true. So why are thoughts so important? Here's a truth that we can't ignore. What you think today is what you will live tomorrow. Thoughts lead to attitudes, and attitudes lead to actions. Your thoughts are basically like seeds. Whatever seed you plant in your mind will grow into the fruit of your life. If what you're sowing in your mind and what these seeds you're planting, if those are of evil and hatred and anger, well, guess what? Your actions are going to be a reflection of what you sowed in that mind. If your mind is based off of what is pure and what is right and what is good and what is true, your actions are going to produce in ways that are good, that are true. So the question is, what seeds are you planting? Ralph Waldo Emerson said, sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. And in line with what the Bible teaches us, it's an eternal destiny that we are shaping. The secular wisdom, it aligns perfectly with biblical truths. Consider what Jesus has to say about our thoughts. Matthew chapter 15, Matthew the 15th chapter, beginning in verse 18. It says, Jesus said that what comes out of a person's mouth comes from the heart, and that's what defiles them. Evil thoughts lead to evil actions. Your thoughts don't stay hidden. They manifest in your words and your deeds. Consider also Mark 7, verse 21. Jesus says there, out of the heart of men proceeds evil thoughts. What's inside us eventually shows on the outside. So what is our thoughts? If we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, what do our thoughts need to look like? How do they need to be shaped? Well, I think Paul gives us a good explanation or a good answer to this. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. In a world full of chaos, how do we keep our minds focused on what is good? Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. Paul says there, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, think on these things. This isn't about denying the brokenness around us. It's about setting our minds on what is eternally true, not just temporary, not just the things that are visible, but the things that God designed us to be, how he designed us to be, and to meditate on the things which he has enlightened us with. One Stoic philosopher wrote, the happiness of your life depends upon the quality of your thoughts. Even in secular philosophy, we see that our mindset is crucial to living well. That's why there are thousands upon thousands of books written by men and women of the world trying to tell you how to live your life and why you need to live your life in this way and how to control your thoughts and emotions. Because our mindset is crucial to living well. So right now, what are you meditating on? Are you allowing the things of the world to be what you meditate on? Are your thoughts leading you closer to God, or are they pulling you away from Him? Now, understand this, though. Even though we have these emotions, and these emotions, they sometimes may try to take control of our lives, know that those emotions are not your enemy. Emotions are God-given. They are not the enemy, but they are not meant to control us. And Jesus, the perfect example of humanity, experienced a wide array of different emotions. For instance, John 11 and verse 35, we have the shortest verse in the Bible that says, Jesus wept. Even the Son of God had moments of deep sorrow. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest of griefs. Jesus had emotions. We can feel emotions as well. One prominent psychologist, Carl Jung, said, "Even a happy life cannot be without a measure of darkness, and the word happy would lose its meaning if it were not balanced by sadness." Emotions are part of life, but they cannot dominate us. They cannot take hold of our actions. Consider Jesus in Gethsemane. He has emotions before going to the cross, before going through the scourging, the beating, the mocking, the trials. In Luke 22 and verse 44, Jesus was in agony as he prayed before the cross. He knew the suffering that awaited him, yet despite his deep emotional turmoil, his mindset remained firm, "Not my will, but yours be done." Jesus' emotions were real, but his thoughts were rooted in God's plan. They were rooted so deeply in God's plan that his emotions did not take control of what he thought, and they did not take control of his actions. God doesn't expect you to be happy all the time, but he does expect your mind to be set on him, even when your emotions are in turmoil. So if we're going to shape our minds, we've got to recognize that there's really three stages of our lives. We have the past, the present, and the future. And I think sometimes, even as Christians, we put too much emphasis on some of those parts of our lives and not enough emphasis on other parts. For instance, with the past, we have a hard time sometimes letting go of the past. One of the greatest challenges that we face is letting go of the past. Paul had to let go of his life as Saul. Saul was the chief persecutor of the Christians. What Paul could have said was, "You know what? I was a persecutor of Christians, and therefore I'm not going to be any good. Nobody's ever going to listen to me, so I might as well just give up on this whole idea of being a Christian and trying to help others realize the truth of the gospel message." Paul could have easily said something along those lines, but instead what he recorded for us in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, is forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. And Paul's not the only one. For instance, Peter. Peter could have said on the day of Pentecost, "You know what? I denied Jesus three times, just like he warned me I would before the rooster crowed. And so I have no business standing up here talking to people about believing in him and having faith in him because I denied him." One philosopher said, "Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards." Letting go of the past is essential for moving forward. And we've got to recognize that our past, it does not define our future. If we say, some of you may be sports fans, and with it being football season at the time of this recording, one thing that you may struggle with is, you know what, our quarterback, he may not be the best, he's missing his throws, he's not really got a good eye on what receiver to pass to, so he just shouldn't throw the football at all. They should always just be running the ball, just hand it off to the running back. Well, just because he misses passes in the past, it does not mean that he's going to miss the next pass that he throws. The past, it does not define the future. You also can't do it the other way around. Well, our quarterback, he's one of the best top throwers. He makes all of his passes. He's made all of his passes this year. And so, therefore, the next pass that he makes, we can say with 100% certainty he's going to make that pass. We can't let the past define the future. It can't define the future. We also can't spend too much time focusing on the future. Well, we've got to trust that God is in control and that God has given us the time and the ability, and He has allotted that time, and I can't control what happens in the future. Worrying about the future steals from your peace today. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 reminds us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. If we are constantly worrying about what the future has to hold for us, we're not going to be successful in taking care of each individual moment and giving it the attention that it needs. We don't control tomorrow. God does. Your job is to trust in Him today. Think about life being like a clock. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to say just when that hand will stop. At late or early hour, that hand is going to stop based off of when God says it's going to stop. Right now is the only time we own to do God's precious will. So don't wait for tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. Where our focus needs to be is on the present. When Jesus' disciples asked Him how they should pray, Jesus taught them to pray for their daily bread. Pray for today's bread, not tomorrow's bread. Give us this day, Lord, our daily bread. But too often we get overwhelmed by what's ahead or what's behind us, but God wants us to focus on the present moment. Can I find my meal for right now? Can I address the anxiety and the worry that I'm facing right now? Can I give praise to God in the moment now? Confucius once wrote, and wisely stated, I might add, the man who moves a mountain begins by carrying away small stones. Focusing on today allows us to make progress step by step. Right now is where you can make a difference. Right now is where God can work through you if you allow Him. If you allow His word to dwell in you and you allow that light to shine out, you can be the image bearer of Him that He designed us to be. Transformation begins with the renewing of our minds. As Christians, we're called to think differently, to set our minds on what is true, what is noble, and eternal. So I want you to take a moment. Think about one worry from your past, one challenge in your present, and one fear for your future. Now think about God's nature. Think about God's promise and the promises that He has made to us. Now hand each of those things over to God. saying, God, I trust in you. God is already there, both past, present, and future. We need to set our minds on the things that are true, the things that are noble, and the things that are eternal. God doesn't expect us to ignore our emotions either, but he does call us to trust his truth above all else. The world may try to conform you, but God is in the business of transformation. And it starts with your mind. You have the power through Christ to think in a way that honors him. The question is, will you do it? As you go throughout the remainder of your day, may your prayer today and for the remainder of this week be, God, renew our minds daily in your word, in your truth. Help us to focus on what is true, what is eternal, and what brings glory to you. And may I live a life that is transformed from the inside out, so that we can live lives that are fully surrendered to you, O God. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Renewing Minds podcast. I hope it blessed and encouraged you on your journey of faith. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing, leaving a review, and or sharing it with friends and family. Your support helps us reach more people with the message of transformation through renewed thinking in Christ. You have the ability to plant the seed and allow God to give the increase. You can also connect with us on social media, and we're working on developing a website that you can visit for more resources, episodes, and blog posts. If you'd like to support this effort, be part of the community, leave comments on Facebook for us, leave encouraging messages. Every little bit helps us continue to spread this message of hope and renewal. Thanks again for listening, and remember, let's keep renewing our minds, transforming our lives, and impacting the world for Christ. Until next time, God bless.